Was it a test? Was it just an academic question? Was he really seeking? Did he really want an answer that would change his life forever? Or did he just want a nod of approval? You're good already, you're okay, you don't need my help, you're okay. Well, Jesus never used the same answer to different questions. He always had a word for the moment and for the person who needed to hear that one thing at the right time. The man was good. The man was upright. The man was devout. The man was seeking to do every good thing he could to inherit eternal life. But Jesus said, there's one thing you need to hear. There's one thing that you, rich man, need to hear. Give your money away to the poor. Now, the gospel, it's a gospel for every single person. It's a simple gospel that says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We say to God, God, I come to you. I bring myself before you. I cast myself upon you. Please receive me. He says, yes. But there's often one thing that he wants us to focus on as we come to know him. For this rich young man, righteous, good, well-intentioned, it was give your money away to the poor. For other people, it was a different response. Eternal life cannot be earned. I'm rich, I'm kind, I'm nice. I give to charity on a regular basis. Not enough. It's simply coming and saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm in a mess. I give my life to you. That is the step of faith that brings us to Jesus. Eternal life cannot be earned. The Bible doesn't say that keeping the Ten Commandments leads to eternal life. That's down to Jesus alone. But when we know Jesus, then we do keep the Ten Commandments, because that is his word and that is his instruction to us. The one thing for this rich young man to deal with was his reliance on his great wealth. And so Jesus gives him that challenge. If you mean business, if you want to know me, if you want eternal life, then give that money away. The one thing that he had to contend with. Nicodemus was another man that came to see Jesus at nighttime, John chapter 3. And he was a Jewish theologian. He was a Pharisee, a well-educated man, a well-intentioned man, a very righteous and moral man. And he ticked every single box of the Old Testament law. He said, Jesus, you know, am I okay with you? Are we good? Are we good? Am I okay? And Jesus said, well, Nicodemus, you know my word. You teach my word. But Nicodemus, you need to be born again. How can that happen? Can I go into my mother's womb again and be born again? No, you have to be born again. New life. It's the one thing that Nicodemus had to grasp. The rich man had to grasp. His wealth was his problem. Nicodemus, his own righteousness was his problem. You don't do it on your own. It's God working within you, bringing you new life. Because the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single person falls short of God's standard. There's no way we can get there into a relationship with God on our own. It's by his grace and by his mercy. It's the only way it can happen. Jesus met a woman by a well in Samaria, John chapter 4. And she wanted to draw some water from the well. And there was one thing that she needed to hear. That one thing was, even though she was a woman who had four failed marriages behind her and was now living with a man she wasn't married to, even though she felt worthless, even though she felt useless, Jesus loved her. And will not only help her draw water from the well so she could have a drink, but would give her his love so she'd never thirst again and be desperate for someone to love her. That's the one thing she needed to hear and to take home. The rich man, the one thing, You've got to deal with your riches. Nicodemus, the one thing, you can't think and theologize your way to heaven by being a good student of the Bible. You have to be born again. For the woman of Samaria, you need to realize how much I love you. God loves you. You despise yourself. You hate yourself. You're struggling through life. You're trying to get water to survive for the next day. You're desperate. The one thing you've got to hear is that God loves you and receives you exactly as you are. Then there was Bartimaeus. He was a blind man. We read this in Matthew chapter 10. And he was crying out as Jesus was walking by. He was saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The crowds were around asking him to be quiet because he was interrupting Jesus in what he was talking about. But Jesus listened to him. Bartimaeus was a blind man. And Jesus said to him, "Bartimaeus," this is a blind man who's been blind and begging in the streets for years. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Why on earth did he ask that question? Because the man was blind. It's because he wanted to hear from Bartimaeus, "I want to receive my sight. That's what I want. I want to receive my sight." And he did. You see, the one thing for Bartimaeus was to be honest about the desperate need that he had. You see, God moves powerfully in our lives. In each of these cases, there was a one thing they had to be honest about and they had to face up to that led to a full experience of Jesus. Now, my guess is, in this gathering of us here this morning in Bethania, in all of our lives, there's one thing that God is putting his finger on. One thing that we need to yield completely to him and hand over to him. Eternal life is as much about quality as it is quantity. This encounter begins and ends with a mention of eternal life. What must I do to have eternal life? And eventually, at the end, this is how to receive eternal life. For the rich man to receive quality of life, he needed to sell his possessions and to trust Jesus. For Nicodemus to receive quality of life, he needed to relinquish his self-reliance on his own high standard of morality and be born again. For the woman of Samaria, she had to accept that Jesus loves her just as she is. For Bartimaeus, to receive quality of eternal life, he needed to express his need and trust Jesus. "I'm blind! I want to see! Lord, speak to me." I don't know where you are this morning. Where do we stand? What's the one thing that God is saying to us? We know that we can only be Christians by putting our faith in Jesus. Does it mean we understand everything? No. Does it mean we must be able to quote the Bible verbatim from beginning to end? No. It does mean we put our trust in him. "Lord, I can't, but you can." I don't know what you're facing in life. What's worrying you? What's around the corner? And life can be scary. It can be very scary. But we know our lives are in the hands of one who loves us more than we can ever possibly imagine. What's the one thing he's asking you to do or say? To be the person that he wants you to be. What is that this morning? It's different things to different people. But it's so important to be honest and real with God. And I say this as a minister of 41 years standing now in ordained ministry. And ministers have got it all sorted out, haven't they? No. Big no. I say it. I'm still saying to the Lord, Lord, make me the person you want me to be. Starts with a simple yes, Lord. I pray that you'll forgive me for my sin. I give my life to you. But it goes on from there. It goes on from there. Where are you on that journey? Where are you in that walk with him? What's the one thing this morning that he wants you to open your heart about so that you can be the person that God intends you to be? We're going to continue to worship in song now. I'm going to ask Phil